Thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. The MW Shares podcast is powered by Shure Microphones. In part one, Brian Lambie from Redbrook Communications took us through the six principles of handling difficult people on social media. But what happens when difficult becomes unruly and things start to spiral out of control? Today, Brian takes us through three key communication strategies to use when we find ourselves in the social media trenches.
All right. So let's turn our attention to those three big strategies. In the case, sometimes it's the case that you're dealing with a situation on social media where just having those six simple principles that we talked about earlier are not enough. What are the strategies?
Okay, so when things really get wild, what do we do? This is an area where people will look for magic bullets, or they'll say, like, what do we do? And the answer is there's really only so many routes that you can take, and none of them are particularly magical. The first one is you can ride it out. Put on a bike helmet and just say, we're doing it. Now, if you look at the Ontario government, the Wynne government on gas plant, on the gas plant topic, that's what they did for about 3 years, right? The social media was talking about gas plants constantly, and the government of Ontario just never did during that whole time. They never commented on it. They just ignored the whole discussion that was raging on social media. To great effect, actually. They won an election that people didn't expect them to win. So that is one strategy. And we'll expand on all these individually. But the second one is that we will agree to kind of watch that pot boil, and then we will wade in if and when we need to wade in. Now, that's easily said. This is the area that gets very, very complicated, is knowing how to weigh in. So we should have a separate discussion about that. And then the third one is change the channel. If you're getting beaten up about a development, you need to ratchet up all the communication you're doing about the farmer's market down the street, the blueberry festival, your pools are open. Did you know we have all these aquatic programs, right?
Like, kind of like you do with your children, right? Redirect a little bit too.
Yeah.
Let's focus
on this. We need to make sure that we're not spending so much time that we're focusing everybody's attention on the wart. We need to make sure that people understand that the buses are running on time, streets are being snowplowed, basic services are provided. And that is actually a better encapsulation of what the municipal story and situation is. So we need to make sure that, if we just can't let that wart become the brand. And so we do that by making sure that we're ratcheting up our conversations on all the other things that we're doing. So you got those three things: ride it out, wade in if needed, change the channel. And then the fourth one is some creative combination of two or three of those things.
Okay, so let's dig in a little bit on these then. Ride it out. What does that look like?
So the funniest line I heard of this, I got to credit my friend John Paranak, former colleague of mine, he's now at Strategy Corps, still does this kind of stuff. John's a lot of fun. He once said, the determined approach only works for those who have a determined stomach. And most people don't have the determined stomach that they need to make the determined approach work. So a great example of this would be autism funding with the Ford government, or some of the things that they've done in their first term, where they had a strange tendency at the time. Government's behaving very differently now than it did. But at the time, they would come up with something controversial they would run a gauntlet. They would be 90% of the way through that gauntlet, and then they would turn on a dime and fold. Sort of say, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. Or we're going to do the complete opposite because people are unhappy with us. So if you are going to kind of put on a bike helmet and say, we know it's going to be a mess, but we're going to ride out that mess. If that's your strategy, then you need to be able to ride out that mess. And again, that is what the Liberal government, that's what the Liberal government did on gas plants. And that was a very, very long journey for them, like years of it. So
it's the German approach
only works. Yeah.
Make sure you're geared up and have your helmet on. Knee pads,
here we go.
Elbow pads. Yeah.
So there's no question that's a strategy. But it does require discipline. All right. So your next one is wade in when things get out of hand. And this is the one where, you know, we could spend an hour talking just on this one. But basically, as some general principles here, first thing you need to realize is that emotion is your enemy. So if you're going to follow the discussion and just wade in as you need to, you better just make sure you're being very strategic the whole time. You want to kind of be a Vulcan. I always think of Dr. Spock. Right.
Yeah.
Because you really have to kind of check all the emotional impulses because they will send you in the wrong direction. Next thing you want to do is you want to pick your battles. You know, people are going to raise points. You don't want to counter each one of them, but maybe there's a few that are really, really key. So you got to have a good sense of, you know, when do we go in and when do we ride through this portion? So we want to be very, very strategic and careful about how we pick battles along the way. Again, we're going to wade in when we need to. That means we're not wading in all the time. We're doing it judiciously. And by the way, you don't have the resources to wade in all the time either. So let's be real about it. You're going to have to pick battles.
And there is a danger sometimes of, you know, over placing too much stock in what's said in a comment and so on. Perhaps taking it too personally because, you know, maybe you do feel that it's in some way personal, but you do have to kind of separate yourself a little bit from that perspective.
Yeah, and I mentioned our decision tree, and it's really helpful for this moment, I think, because our decision tree is like an engineer's dream to, you know, any engineer that gets into issues management is going to go straight to our decision tree. It's a Boolean logic chart.
Yeah.
It strips away that emotion, but part of what it looks into are things like how big is a person's following? You know, how correct are they? Right? Things that you really need to consider so that you're not being, the emotion's not leading you through it. And there's just a series of questions you should be asking that help you decide whether or not you should respond to that specific post or not. So that's all covered off in that decision tree.
It's a great decision tree. And in fact, it's one that our team uses as well. So
so we've got a big resources section. I mean, this stuff's all free, so I don't think it's a big plug, but our resources section,
please.
We have a lot of free resources. And that's one of the resources that you can just download off our thing. The one thing I will say on this is we have heard of a number of municipalities that use it for their orientation programs. We're okay with that. What we prefer to do there is work with one of our designers to co-brand it so that people still, you know, are respecting copyright on it, but it
Absolutely.
Is there free for people to use. All right. So the next thing there is timing. Let's go. So if we're going to wade in on something, when do we wade in? And the analogy I like to use here is you're standing on the beach with a surfboard looking out at the ocean. If you don't know how to surf, this is a dangerous moment for you. But if you pay attention to the waves and you start slow and you refine your skills over time, the ability to surf is an amazing thing. So the ocean is mean and scary and nasty and it can kill you.
Yep.
But if you read the rhythms of the waves and you get the right feel of it, you can do amazing things on that ocean. And that's really what we're talking about here in terms of timing it and feeling it and understanding these principles really well. When you wade in, you can turn a conversation on a dime in a really effective way if you're good at surfing, right? It takes practice. Usually the right time to start paddling and get on that wave, like start moving your board, is is not right when the issue breaks. So if you've got people saying, you suck, I hate you, blah, blah, blah. If you wade in right away too early, you become a pinata and people will just take whacks at you. But if you kind of hang back a little bit and you let the five or six people in the community that are kind of the sort of kind of mean people in the community,
yeah,
just do their thing and be kind of lousy people and they'll fire each other up. And by about post 15, you want to wade in with something like a lot of passion here. You know, a lot of these points I've people are citing reports I've never seen before. I'd be happy to look at that. Or just so we're clear, here's the latest from the city on what we're doing. And that reaction at that time is going to, again, the audience in the rest of the community is going to be very relieved. They're going to like that measured kind of leadership.
Yeah.
And, you know, the vitriolic posts got 5 likes. This one will get 20.
Yeah.
And if you do it at the right time, what it does is it cauterizes that wound. So yeah, you just let it bleed for a little bit. And when the time is right, you step in with the right kind of tone and flavor, correct the record, and everybody sees that you're the better, more sensible source of information in the neighborhood. But if you go too early, you're just going to get pounded.
Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with Brian Lambie. Municipal World's executive membership delivers a powerful toolkit for managing Canada's towns and cities. You get the most complete suite of print and online news, plus high-impact communication services and exclusive member content, as well as information to help you and your community stay a step ahead. Executive membership is sized to fit your organization, from 5 to 50 users per membership, and members report saving an average of $1,287 per year just on job postings. It's a smart investment that can quickly pay for itself. Become a member today. Does your municipality have COVID-19 resource materials to share with other communities for reference? Examples might include bylaws, communications and news releases, reports, memos to council, to name just a few. Municipal World is managing a central repository for such documents as a resource for the municipal community as they develop their responses to the pandemic. You can log into your account to access the resource page where you can view and contribute documents. You can find it at municipalworld.com/coronavirus-docs. Without further delay, let's jump back into that conversation with Brian Lambie.
I've witnessed this of late that, you know, sometimes there are city fans, people who are engaged in the city, who will do that defensive work and challenge those people on their own and correct the record as part of that dialogue, in which case it might diffuse it as well.
Yeah. So the next one we want to move into along the same lines is when you're deciding how you're going to wade in. You want to wade in a way that demonstrates the values of your municipality. And so that's that dusty thing on the wall that tells you what you value and care about. And every municipal manager should know what actually says, right? That's important, that document. And we don't think about it much, but it comes in handy at stressful times. But on a more basic level, what you think about is if you think of social media as a giant cocktail party, it's a huge cocktail party where some really nasty people are gotten inside the building. And those nasty people, when they kind of step up at a cocktail party, you know, the room gets quiet. Everybody turns to them. They feel emboldened. They have their moment and everybody feels uncomfortable. That's Donald Trump in the United States. Let's face it. Like just if the world is a dinner party, Donald Trump is having a long moment like that, right?
Yes.
Eventually, there'll be a tipping point where somebody says, "Okay, enough of this. We're not doing this anymore.
We gotta get this guy out of here."
Yeah, and when the tipping point's correct, when that person moves forward, the whole room moves forward. That individual at the cocktail party gets thrown out in the street, the door is locked, the room goes back to normal, and the tone in the room is noticeably better than it may have been at the start as well, because everybody gets really conscientious about about being decent with one another.
Yes.
So on this call, I'm sure we'll have experiences with a local Facebook group that maybe was okay and then went deep down into an evil sewer, and the rest of the neighborhood kind of rallied around, fixed it, and now it's kind of a delightful place again. There are things that you can do, knowing that that's the process that we follow. It's the same process as that you follow at a dinner party. There's things you can do to compress that process. And so it, instead of happening over the course of 3 years, it maybe happens over the course of 8 months. It never happens in a day, but it's
a prolonged cocktail party.
Yeah. And these are, it's cocktail pool party rules apply. Also, how do you want to come across? Helpful, humble, not overly promotional, productive, positive, interesting. This is how you want to be at a cocktail party. It's just not that complicated.
Great advice. It's a great analogy.
We can relate to it. We can figure it out. But we need to recognize that when it happens in 15 minutes at a cocktail party, it's more a matter of like, is Donald Trump going to get a second term? Is he going to do 4 years or is he going to do 8? But we know we're not putting him on Mount Rushmore. That's not happening. So it's just a question of how long that moment will be. All right. Moving along here to the next one. I don't know how we're doing for time. I don't know how much time we have left here. So you tell me if I need to speed up.
No, we're good. We're good. Continue.
Okay. So the next thing is, when you're in the middle of these moments, you want to try to find a way to be inspirational and avoid being critical. So I've experimented a lot on this I'm now showing my hand, but in my neighborhood, again, South Mississauga, everybody loves mute swans. Some would say they're an invasive species, but everybody loves them. So it's springtime right now, and everybody is taking pictures of nesting swans and celebrating all these hatchlings. Well, those hatchlings are driving out native species, and New York State and Michigan actually have management plans to eradicate these swans, right? Oh, so that's not popular, right? So just for fun, I want to see, is it possible to essentially punch these swans in the face on social media and get away with it? And I'm happy to report that if you kind of follow all the things that we're talking about, you can. And I've kind of had those moments. What we need to do is get people to fall in love with native swans, native ducks. We need to have really great photographs when we do it. We need to have really positive tones. And what you're looking for is a post that gets a ton of attention and people say, fascinating. Thanks for sharing this. I didn't know that. I just thought they were swans. This is really neat. And then, you get posts down the road where people see native trumpeter swans and they get excited about trumpeter swans in your community. So, that was an experiment I took on. I can say definitively it does work, but the reality is, when in doubt, find a way to be inspirational and avoid being critical, including to those people that are yelling at you and awful, and think about all the other people that are following the conversation, and find that way to be the inspirational voice, right?
Right.
And I know you were going to ask me about humor, so this kind of falls into that, because do we use humor as a way to be inspirational? We can. It's very tricky. It's very dangerous. But my favorite example of that is also a local example, and it's the Peel District School Board. So the Peel District School Board's Twitter feed is a delight. And essentially, they'll troll kids right back. So kids will say, I can't believe school's not closed today. What a bunch of jerks. And, they'll put out some GIF or GIF with a little simple sort of pop culture reference that essentially says, we believe in you. You'll get to school today. Right. And they're hilarious and they do it regularly. It's not hard to find those examples. Peel Region has picked up on that. And I do find, by the way, in terms of just general social media use, the Greater Toronto Area, the Western Greater Toronto Area, Peel, in particular, all the public services in this area use video a lot. And then if we go to other parts of the Greater Toronto Area, It tends to be more photographs and text, but in Peel region, there's a lot of video use. And I'm sure that this is because people have seen this kind of real-time, playful interaction and trolling that uses a lot of video from the Peel District School Board. So that's a great account to watch.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, and I'm just trying to think if I go through, there is one other thing we should talk about, which is direct messages. So often people will use a strategy. Yeah, like they'll use the strategy to say, I don't want to deal with this person, on this feed. So I'll send them a direct message and tell them to smarten up. And this one, by the way, we see from elected officials a lot. And of course, what happens is that becomes with a swipe of a hand, that becomes a screen capture.
Yeah.
And it gets posted on the main feed.
Yeah.
And you're toast. So we need to recognize that all those emails, all those texts, all those direct messages, you might as well be posting them straight on the board. They are as public as anything else because they all can be captured and shared.
Yeah. It kind of fits almost nicely to a T, don't tweet while you're drinking.
Yeah. But that's a great point. By the way, that's a great point. not the drinking part, but it's this whole principle. And we've talked about this before. Everybody who's listening to this call, almost every single person who's listening to this call should have a personal social media plan. And I bet that 99.5% of them don't. But if you care about your career, if you went to university for 6 years, if you dressed up for your job interview, then you should care about what social media can do to both advance and very, very quickly diminish your career.
Yes.
Right. Social media is high risk if you're a public servant or a public official, which means you should have a personal social media plan that lays out why you're on it, where you are, what decisions you make. And again, on our website, and I believe we used it as a Municipal World article back
once
upon a time. Yeah. So there's a whole piece there about how you write a personal social media plan for yourself. But certainly one of my principles on my plan written in ink is that I do not tweet and drink.
That's right. Like,
I don't post from a baseball game. I don't, because I manage client accounts and I don't do them at a bar.
That's right.
So, yeah. So you turn off the phone, turn off the phone and then go to the beer fridge, but you don't do both.
Don't do both. No one to put the social media device away, and you're in a safe space.
Yeah, and that's all on our resources page too. There's lots of stuff in there. Have at it.
And we may post a link to when we share this out. Maybe we'll post a link to that that article as well, which is great. So our last point, our last big strategy, change the channel.
Yeah, so change the channel again. Like on this, I think people really underestimate the ability to just do really good storytelling that's very, very simple about basic things you do. So I'll get the best example I can give you right now, and I understand it's weird right now with COVID-19, but it's still happening, right? Well, we can use two examples and one that is COVID-19. But the example here is, street sweepers are going to be coming out and cleaning winter away. It would be really, really handy if you had 15 good seconds of video of street sweepers doing their thing, which you overlay on top of that with some messages around, please slow down and watch out for our street sweepers. Spring's on the way. We're doing our job. And people love that stuff. They love it. And it basically just shows that businesses or that services are being provided. And it can be, that moment where you pull picnic tables out of storage, or you plant flowers on your main street, or the ice has come off the lake in your tourism town and you're getting ready for people. These are really great moments to talk about your community. And if you're dealing with a nasty issue over on the left, you want to pull this out over on the right. It's just sort of make sure that everybody understands that Switzerland is still happening.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
But people don't identify those moments. They don't take the time to get it. And often it's communications people or, you know, the mayor's office, whoever it might be, that kind of sort of has the hand in terms of getting these kinds of things out, making sure that at a staff level, people are armed and ready to do that. And that's, you know, knowing basic content creation, having some clear guidelines around approve or sign off forms for anybody in the public, and a good sense of how to use their cell phone, or if they want to get crazy, GoPro cameras and that kind of thing. So we actually have a whole series of webinars on pretty much everything we just talked about, but also on content creation. And because of COVID-19, AMO's, the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, is making all those podcasts available. But it really strikes me right now, like we got a call from a Reuters photographer that wanted to get into a hospital. And we said to him, well, why don't you want to get into a sewer? Because
safer right now.
But the thing is, everybody bought toilet paper. And then when they ran out of toilet paper, they bought flushable wipes. And then the flushable wipes are not flushable anymore. They're really not flushable.
No.
So there's going to be these fatbergs, and somebody's going to have to go in and clean them out. And that guy is some guy named Dave, who's going to have to go into a sewer in the middle of a pandemic and clean it out.
Yeah.
Why would we not make that guy a hero?
Yeah.
And we can. And we pitched this to the Reuters photographer in terms of bus drivers, long-term care cleaners, the fatberg guy, right?
Yeah.
Why aren't you using your camera to capture these stories of municipal employees? And they love the idea. So now we're trying to connect them with those people. And this is what we're talking about by changing the channel.
That's fantastic. And, you know, inside our communities, I'm seeing a lot of mayors are taking this time to do little daily videos or, you know, I know a couple mayors out in Newfoundland are doing cooking with the mayor spots where they do a little video and or post the recipe and some pictures of what they're, you know, what they've made for their family this night. And that can be a really a fun, good way to change the channel as well, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the cranky stuff's coming. It takes care of itself. But unless you're proactive and find those kind of lovable, adorable moments, and increasingly these days, that means you have to capture it in video as well. Text doesn't get the job done. It's got to be video, maybe photographs, but usually video. It is easy to take or produce as well. Like, you know, you can outperform CTV news, a CTV news truck with a cell phone these days. You know, it's all there. So the better you understand how to kind of use those kinds of tools to your advantage, it makes it better to kind of, and again, I don't think this isn't a sneaky thing to do when you're changing the channel. We need to be clear about this. All you're doing is making sure that while you're acknowledging that we have this issue in the community, we also want to make sure that everybody in the community has a very accurate understanding of the big picture in the community, which is basic services being provided every day so well and so effectively that people don't even recognize it anymore. So that is a more accurate reflection of what's happening in terms of municipal service. So we need to pull up our socks and make sure those stories are told.
Absolutely. Great strategies, great principles, and encourage folks to go and check out those resources that your team has provided to you. And as you said, on the AMO site as well. Thank you so much, Brian.
That's a pleasure. I always love doing with these. I love the fact that, you know, I do, particularly around communications, I think there's just not enough moments where municipal communicators can come together. As you know, we're big fans of supporting them, and I see this as part of it. So thanks for doing it.
Our pleasure.
I want to thank Brian Lambie for taking the time to chat with us. If you'd like to hear more from Brian, follow him on Twitter at Brian Lambie. We hope you've enjoyed this special episode of MW Shares Municipal Pandemic Response. If you found the information in today's episode useful, we hope you'll please drop us a note to let us know or give us a shout on Twitter at Municipal World. Until next time, I'm Susan Gardner. This is MW Shares. Please Stay healthy, stay safe.